Warning, you're about to access explicit content. Please proceed with caution.
You're listening to a Slurred Kind production.
Data.
The sensors can't penetrate the planet's ionosphere. There's too much interference. Can you find a way to scan for life forms?
I would be happy to, sir. I just love scanning for life forms. Life forms. You tiny little life forms. You precious little life forms. Where are you?
Joba, when I said I wanted a change of pace, this definitely isn't what I had in mind.
Well, look, you said you were sick of the same old cantinas and spaceport dive bars, so I looked on the old interdimensional Yelp app and this place was hot!
You're telling me it's like a million degrees in here!
True, but just think, did you ever think you'd see a Gungan grinding on a Klingon? Or look over there, that Cyberman is totally making out with that Cylon.
Next time I say you need some culture, don't take it so literally.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of a good time.
It's time for the news.
Think we're going to get kicked out of here for podcasting in the bathroom? I have no idea if this is men's or women's, not to mention any of the other possible options in this dimension. Oh well. Welcome back, Dimension Hoppers. I'm Joba, just one in the crowd, Fett.
And I'm Ripley. Really wish it wasn't so stuffy in here, Scott.
And you're listening to a culturally rich Close Encounters the Slurred Kind episode. We want to do a little tiny breakaway before we go into the hyperspace headlines, because we have to introduce the newest addition to the Black Swirl crew, Bon Solo the Space Bee. Her edits help us pollinate these episodes for you guys so we can keep reproducing even more.
I don't think that's how this works, Jova. Did your parents ever actually give you the talk?
What talk? There's a talk?
No matter.
Yeah, whatever. It's time for...
It's time for the hyperspace headlines.
All right, space nerds and cultural appropriates. We are going to our good old friend, the AP Oddities website, as we have a great article coming to you today. The title of the article is "A Vehicle Backfiring Startled a Circus Elephant into a Montana Street. She Still Performed Tuesday." I have no idea what this means.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is clickbait 101 right there.
Yes.
I am a sucker. All right, so this article came to us from April 17th, 2024. The sound of a vehicle backfiring, which I'm sure we all know, the spooked a circus elephant while she was getting a pre-show bath in Butte, Montana, leading the pachyderm to break through a fence and take a brief walk, stopping noontime traffic before being loaded back into a trailer. Viola, an Asian elephant with the Jordan World Circus, still participated in two performances Tuesday after a time on the lam in the southwestern Montana city of about 35,000 people that late in the 1800s was the world's largest copper-producing area. Viola was getting a bath behind the Butte Civic Center just after noon on Tuesday when she was startled, Civic Center manager Bill Melvin said. She went through a quote, kind of rickety fence, of course, it's Montana,
makes sense.
Went on to a four-lane street, stopping traffic and causing folks to pull out their cell phones. Hopefully, their cell phones were the only thing they pulled out to take photos and video. Olivia LeBeau, 21, was driving home from a coffee run when the elephant strolled in front of oncoming traffic. One car began backing up and LeBeau stopped her car as the elephant casually made her way onto the other side of the road. I kind of had to do a double take, she said. I thought I was seeing things. So apparently elephants get spooked by backfiring motors.
Wild indeed. I kept sitting here trying to think of how I can make some really, really offensive and inappropriate like racial jokes about Asian elephants and the name Viola. And I was like, I had nothing. I was coming up with blanks. It was very disappointing. It was disappointing, Ripley. I couldn't be offensive. That's okay. It's all right.
First time for everything.
First time for everything. You know, it just means one more episode where we're not getting canceled. But, you know, it's probably not that big of an accomplishment because I'm pretty sure we got canceled like 10 to 15 episodes ago anyway. So anytime you're around an elephant, fucking make sure your car has had its oil change. There's no backfiring of any kind.
Moral of the story is elephants like Teslas.
That is true because they don't make any crazy weird sounds and stuff. I can't tell you about how efficient a Tesla actually is because I don't make that kind of money, but I do know a certain co-host who's driven one before. Ripley.
They're awesome. Balls deep.
But anywho, that is funny as shit. I was trying to make a Dumbo joke, but I'll be honest, I haven't seen Dumbo enough to even know enough about that movie, other than there's an elephant in the fucking circus. It's the only thing I remember from that movie. He was treated badly, and it's kind of a sad, depressing movie. And I was like, I can't really think of any funny Dumbo jokes to tie in here. So, whatever. Very good article, good headline. Is there anything else about it? Are we ready to move into the next one?
Nope, it's all you.
All right, so the next one is coming at you from the New York Post. This one actually came from my roommate as a joke in an Instagram meme, and I dove into it a little bit more deeply, and oh my god, it was fucking perfect for what we do. So again, New York Post, Brazilian woman who married doll throws gender reveal party for the second ragdoll child. Yes. That is a real headline. It's coming to you from November 22nd, 2023. A Brazilian woman who married a doll husband, who, by the way, looks just like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. So this doll, she had a doll son with him and is pregnant, quote unquote, with another through a 40-person gender reveal party for their second child. Wow, it even gives names. Miravone Roca Moraes and her husband, again, quote unquote, Marcelo, a rag doll made by Moraes' mother. Oh my God, so fucking sad to read.
Her brother?
Well, no, her mother.
I know, but the mother made the doll, so therefore her brother.
Oh, shit. That is even more fucked up. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that. Wow, 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 wow.
Wicked wild, wicked wild, wicked wild, wild west.
That's insano in the membrano. But, you know, if it's not incest, it's not wincest.
All set.
So basically, a rag doll, like I said, made by Moray's mother, announced in a TikTok video Sunday that their second child will be a girl. Oh, I'm so happy for this lovely, lovely couple. Moray said their inanimate daughter is due in December and revealed that her name will be Marcella. The unconventional couple already has a son, Marcelino. The video featured Moraes, Marcello, and Marcelino dressed in pink and blue with pink and blue decorations, and Moraes holding a sparkler, spouting pink smoke. She screams and jumps for joy, and the camera pans to the roughly 40 family and friends clapping for her. I'm just mind blown. Oh my God, this picture.
That is classic enablement.
Oh, 100%. How did you find 40 people to enable this kind of craziness? But again, we live in 2024.
I'm pretty sure my family loves me, and if I tried to tell them I was doing that, they'd be like, Ripley, you need to be committed, and this is fucking idiotic. Like, just stop.
Oh, 100%. Like, I have a stepmother, and the best thing about her is that she speaks her mind. Sometimes it pisses me off. Sometimes I want to pull my hair out. But at the end of the day, as mad as I am, I'm so glad that she does. I mean, not everyone does that. Yeah, we're both very lucky in that sense. So it goes on to say, in quotations again, I wanted it to be a boy because I've heard having a girl is very expensive and much more work. Oh my God, what kind of psychotic... Oh my God. Maravone in Portuguese said this, according to the Daily Mail. The baby will still be welcomed and very loved by me and her dad. You couldn't just fucking glue some extra hair on her and like just maybe cut a slit in the front of her dress and she wouldn't just like be a female. So basically it's just a miniature version of this super creepy Uncle Rico / Danny McBride iteration of whatever this is. God, I wish you were looking at the same picture I am. Goes on to say Marcello is very happy because he wanted a girl. He already has Marcelino, who's the boy, so now a girl has made him very satisfied, the eccentric mom added. God, these pictures are worth $1 million. That shows the doll who doesn't even have feet. The doll doesn't even have feet! He's surrounded in petals, and she's in a wedding dress, and he's laying on her lap, and I'm a little scared right now. The video sparked shocked reactions, including some commenting, jaw dropped, another saying, I'm so confused, and yet another saying, how does this even happen? She filmed a video at the start of the party where she asked guests to guess their gender in the clip, and then it pans to the child's father, who responds with silence. Earlier this month, Moray shared photos of herself having an ultrasound of the baby girl. Oh my God, there's like so many pictures. Please, this has to be somebody trolling. She's 37, put on a 250-person wedding when she tied the knot with Marcello, and the duo had Marcellino on May 21st, 2022. She's posted about a series of contrived controversies, including claiming that Marcello had cheated on her twice, prompting to remove his dildo penis. What? What, did I just read that?
I'm speechless. I have nothing. I got nothing.
It goes on, though. I'm so glad I didn't read this in its entirety. She also claimed in February that Marcellino was taken hostage by people demanding a roughly $200 ransom for his return. $200? Fuck it. You can make 100 Marcellinos. You don't need that Marcellino. Marcellino his ass into the trash can. I'm like, oh my God. I hope it's fake.
I got nothing. I really don't.
It was a very enjoyable and fun article. With that ridiculousness, we'll head on into the Banter Beacon.
Banter Beacon initiated.
Today, we're going to go over two articles. One is going to have a list of all the aliens we would hope to invade Earth, all the supposed fictionalized aliens and all the pop culture history coming to you from Star Trek, comic books, Star Wars, Doctor Who, all the way down to who knows what. And then we're going to go over the six alien species that are alleged to be on the Earth now.
Reptilians.
Yes, reptilians, insectoids, greys, the Nordics. There's all kinds of flavors for those of you out there. So get your Neapolitan ice cream out. It's time to make some flavors, baby.
All right. So are we starting with the Mashable article of the 10 best alien species?
Yes. Let's go.
All right. Perfect. Let's start off with number 10 then. It's the Gallifreyans.
Oh, I love the Gallifreyans.
That's right. There's a reason why the Doctor, soon to return into our screens, played by Jodie Whittaker, ran away from her world of Gallifrey and her people, also known as Time Lords.
Time Lords. In
65 years of Doctor Who, we've never learned exactly what the reason is, but we can guess it probably has something to do with the fact that Time Lords are, generally speaking, entitled assholes.
True.
But the Doctor, their unofficial ambassador to Earth, is living proof that Gallifreyans can change quite literally. Literally. All Time Lords are able to regenerate 12 times. The Doctor, now technically on her 14th body, was granted an extension. And it was well established, even before Whittaker took over the role, that they can also change gender. An episode, Hellbent, showed a male Time Lord General regenerating into a woman, then lamenting her feeble, insufferable previous incarnation. Good Lord, how do you cope with all that ego, quote unquote? The thought of our leadership going through that change and having that realization sounds pretty good right now. Pros: have invented time travel, which would be a game changer for the tourism industry.
True.
Have two arts, thus requiring more checkups. Regenerating Time Lords will probably require more therapists. Overall, a major boost for the health and wellness economy. Cons: severe policies on punishment. Doctor was once locked up for 4 billion years.
Damn.
Time Lord nation of Earth may invite yet more Dalek invasions. Yeah, we don't want the more Daleks. Definitely not. Worst of all, Doctor is pledged to protect Earth. Would probably attempt to eject them, restore current leadership. No thanks, Doc.
Man, so as you kept reading and it kept establishing the Doctor as a female, I was like, oh my God. We talked about it on this podcast and we will continue to stand firm where we are. We love and don't adhere to any political party. You know, you'll hear jokes and they'll definitely be more leaning to the left side. But we love the left and we love the right. We want to be a political free environment where people can just laugh and love it all at the same time. But man, I stopped watching the show when they changed the gender of the character because the character was so goddamn awesome how it was written. If you want to make an amazing female character, just write a new one. You don't have to change one that's been established in lore for so long. Now, I do get it. It's a time traveling alien who changes his body 1,000 times. So it does kind of make sense that it could go in and out of different genders. So at the end of the day, I'm not as upset as I would be if they like made Captain Kirk a female. But it's still annoying because like now they're writing it like, oh, it was a woman the entire time. She, her. And I'm like, But I can let that slide because yes, how cool would it be if there were Gallifreyans on the Earth? That would be insane. That'd be super fun. I mean, I've always wanted to ride in the TARDIS.
Hell yeah.
So coming up at number 9 is one of the more Marlon Brando flavored aliens. Oh yeah, that's right. Kryptonians. And no, not like the kind you find in your salad. We're talking actual Kryptonians. Not like,
Croutons?
Not croutons. Not Croutonians. We're talking about Kryptonians, the distant cousin, the less garlic flavored ones. The article goes to say, sure, Superman's home planet of Krypton was wiped out by a terrifying natural instability that its leadership decreed as fake news. But more Kryptonians survived than you may think. And they've probably learned a valuable lesson when it comes to our climate change problem. So now when Krypton sends us invaders, it's not always sending their best. There are prehistoric nightmares, Doomsday. Yeah, that fucking sucked. Doomsday is one wild thing. They're Phantom Zone convicts, General Zod and the crew, and then the rest of them if you've seen Smallville. But you have to assume most people are good. Just look at Kal-El, Superman, Kara Zor-El, Supergirl, Krypto, the Superdog. I mean, he was already on Earth, so don't really know what that's about. The adorable inhabitants of the bottle city of Kandor, which was Krypton's capital. Pros all automatically become superhuman under Earth's yellow sun. That would be sweet. I've always wanted to just fucking fly around, just to fly. Holy shit, how cool would that be? I would be one of those pansy-ass humans that only flies about like 8 feet because anything higher than that, it would give me a fear of heights. So I would fly just as high as the telephone poles.
I'd be like a cannonball just shot out of the can, just fucking crashing into shit just head first.
That would be amazing. And I definitely admire your spirit, but my God, I just couldn't do it. Maybe I could, but it would definitely take me a lot more time than you to get to that point. But it also goes on to say, this would lead to a boom times for costume makers, especially manufacturer of underpants. True. I never understood why Superman liked to have those undies on the outside. We're about to see if, what's his name? I know his name's Corin Sweet, but I forget his first name. The new Man of Steel that's coming out under, oh my God, why am I blanking on the fucking director of the movie that I love the most? Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn. James Gunn's new Superman movie. David Corin Sweet. Lord, what's wrong? The question is, will he or won't he have trousers on the outside or the inside? We will see. Anyways, it goes on to say, delivery of anything would become very fast. Also, most Kryptonians seem to be drawn to selfless service, like saving lives, kittens and trees, etc. Cons require a sick day whenever they see any glowing green rocks. Oh my God, the next one, you're so lucky.
Sorry, I got distracted looking up the Superman movie because it's funny because David Corn Sweat. All right, yeah, you could feel it. Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor. I love James Gunn and Nathan Fillion's just like bromance because he's going to be Guy Gardner. Great.
Yep.
Love it. I don't see any mention of Lois. Oh, no, there she is. Rachel Brosnahan.
She's from the Marvelous Miss Maisel or whatever.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Not traditional, but I like the comedic aspect there. Wendell Pierce is Perry White. So Perry White's the editor of the newspaper.
Oh, no. I know who Perry White is, but I'm...
Wendell Pierce was in show with John Krasinski where he's... Jack Ryan. That's what it was. He's in the Jack Ryan
scene. Oh, the older guy.
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Of course, Sean Gunn's in there as Maxwell Lord. That's interesting. But just the names that they have in here.
I'm excited. Yeah. He knows he has to hit this out of the park to actually establish a concrete DC universe going forward because it's so convoluted and just total chaos right now. So he knows this movie has to be the glue that holds all the rest of the outcoming, whether they're DC Elseworlds movies, which he's determining as the, I guess, extended universe movies. But this is going to be the movie that solidifies all the rest within this little multiverse he's creating, which will be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Next up, number 8, the Thermians. Ugh. Now I see why you're so excited. The adorable aliens from Galaxy Quest seem too peaceful, dorky, and naive to invade anywhere, which is exactly why we need them to point their ships at Earth right now, please. Pros, they're unable to tell the difference between fiction and reality, so they will really be impressed by all of our interstellar exploits as seen on Netflix. Also, they're allegedly good kissers. Yeah, the one girl, though, not all that attractive. Anyways, cons. That whole beetle haircut thing is just a ruse to make them look nice to us. They're actually slimy and tentacled, and it might take some time to adjust and not constantly point that out when we meet them.
God, I fucking love... So this is in my top three favorite movies of all time. It sits at number two, and I think it might always. My top three movies of all time are, in fact, Guardians of the Galaxy, Galaxy Quest, and then Fight Club. And this definitely will never move out of my top three. But just the, we need your help. I just love the way they talk. Oh my God. Have you ever seen Galaxy Quest, Ripley?
No, I still need to see it.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious. And this species of aliens is the best part of the movie. They're like just so odd and hilarious looking and speaking and acting. And at one point, one of the crew members does make out with one of them, which is where the kiss thing comes from in this article. And it's the guy who plays in Monk, whatever his name is. He's making out with the chick right there with the terrible haircut. And it shows... what's his name? He plays a red shirt riffing on Star Trek. He basically plays like an extra on the show who just happens to be along with the crew, the fake crew, when they go on this big mission on the movie. But it's played by Sam Rockwell. He's watching the monk guy make out with the girl. The girl like transforms back into the tentacle thing. And then the monk guy just gets even more turned on and makes out with her even harder. And he's like, oh, that's not right. That's not right. Just so fucking funny. Oh my God. Yeah, you lucked out. I would have loved to talk that one. Coming up at number seven, we got Mon Calamari. No, we're not talking about octopus or squid, but your favorite sushi place. We're talking about, this is a trap. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Fish are friends, not food, as we learned in Finding Nemo, and there are no friendlier fish than the Mon Calamari, the race of aquatic rebels seen in our favorite four Star Wars film. You probably remember Admiral Ackbar from Return of the Jedi.
That's right, and his tragic off-screen death in The Last Jedi, but we pretend that The Last Jedi doesn't fucking exist because it was a piece of garbage.
Yeah, I already forgot about it.
Yeah, me too. You might remember General Radus from Rogue One. Without the sacrifice of his entire ship, the rebels would have never gotten away with the Death Star plan. It's very true. That was a great... These guys are loyal, effective, and really good at identifying traps. True that. Pros. Any Mon Calamari invasion of Earth would focus on making the oceans livable first. So long, Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Bye-bye, ocean acidification, coral reefs. Welcome back. Plus, anyone who has a Shape of Water-style fetish, you're in luck. This was written by such a feminist. Anyways, cons. We'd never be able to order the fish again, especially not that delicious fried octopus dish. Well, fucking speak for yourself. It's a whole different species. I'd be eating that shit up. All the best sushi chefs would likely be in prison. No, they wouldn't. Get out of your socialist mindset. They'd be fine. Also, speaking of Star Wars, did you hear they are making an entire new movie and or quote-unquote unsure if actually set in stone or not, but a new trilogy for Rey?
I have not heard, no.
Yeah, you would think they'd know when to stop, but they obviously do not. So yeah, they're moving forward with a Rey movie. We'll see if it bears any fruit, which we know it won't.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Your turn.
Yeah, number six is a race I'm not familiar with. I've got to be honest with you, but I know you are. The Andorians.
Oh, yeah.
So these come to us from the beloved Gene...
Roddenberry.
Yeah, thank you. The Gene Roddenberry series of Star Trek. There are plenty of benign Star Trek species we could pick, but let's be honest, most of them are just too dull. Ouch. I consider including the Bajorans from Deep Space Nine, but they tend to whine a lot about how they were invaded by the Cardassians.
True.
Not to be confused with Kardashians, which is also a callback to our last episode.
True.
Which would likely lead to tragic reprisals against our own Kardashians. Andorians are a different story, however. Known by their blue skin, white hair, and antennae, they don't get a whole lot of screen time in the Trek canon, but every time they do show up, you're guaranteed a wild time complete with brawling, booze, and Olympic-level seduction. I am on board.
Oh, yeah.
Pros, Andorian ale is reputedly the best in the Federation. Andorian blues is supposed to be pretty good music, too. And most Andorian marriages require four people, which should spice things
what?
If Earthlings are made to follow suit. You, and you, let's go. Cons, all owners of Dealey Bobbers instantly become racist. I don't know what Dealey Bobbers are.
I have no idea what that means. I'm a big Star Trek fan.
Oh, okay. They're the headset with the springy antennae. Anyways, okay.
God. Gotcha. Yeah, the Andorians, they're pretty good. They came to fruition in the original series of Star Trek with Captain Kirk's run.
How does one come to fruition? I've come to a lot of things, but never to fruition.
Yeah, you know, you and me definitely have that in common. Moving on, we got number five, the Asogians. Oh, okay. The ETs. Literally not like little green men from Mars. We're talking ET the Extraterrestrial, Steven Spielberg, aliens. The weird looking dudes that are brown with the weird wrinkly neck that kind of look like your great, great, great Aunt Sue after she had chemo. You know, that one. That got dark. Yeah. Yep, that's the official name for the species seen in E.T. the Extraterrestrial. Not only would this squat and supremely benign being make it onto our list in his own merits, he is not alone, spoiler alert, we see his family at the end of the movie, but he's also the one and only link between our planet and the far, far away galaxy of Star Wars, in which Asogians also appear, which is true. The scene where Palpatine is speaking to everyone, so you know what I'm talking about. So
in the Congress,
Yeah, in the Republic! Pros, given their well-documented love of Reese's Pieces, the Hershey Company would probably be able to provide full employment for the entire planet. Also, who needs universal healthcare when Asogian index fingers can just fix everything? Cons, aerial bike rides could probably prove dangerous. Also, we may have to avoid mentioning the fact that they appeared in The Phantom Menace, which I just mentioned a second.
All right, next up, number four is Flora Colossus. That's right. We're going on to big old Groot. Groot is the only name we really know for this species. They first appeared in Marvel Comics as invaders from Planet X, quote unquote. Oh. So we know that they have formed from infiltrating Earth. On screen, we technically seen two Groots, the older one killed at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, the second one growing to become a surly teenager in Avengers Infinity War, and so on. That's happened since this article. Pros? A planet led by an intelligent tree would fix climate. Jesus Christ, get off the soapbox.
I know. I didn't look. I just picked an article.
Yeah. Starting a wildfire would be redefined as genocide. And if we ever needed to take the planet back, Flora Colossi are apparently easily distracted by 1980s video game consoles. Cons? Extremely limited vocabulary isn't great for negotiation.
That's true.
But it's also about the tone, you dumb bitch. I am Groot. I am Groot.
That's true.
I am Groot. Three different things. Get used to it.
That's right. Get into the inflection, you know? I am Groot could mean, God, I can't wait to go fuck some hoes.
Ever since you got a little sap, you've been a real dick.
Dude, best line ever. At the very end of the movie, when he's in there, when he's like, Star-Lord is trying to be the father figure. So funny. And then you never know.
I am Groot.
I am Groot might mean, I hate it when I go to sleep at night and the bed feels really, really good and I just move around in it and then I wake up covered in tree sap. You know, it's just a thing. It's just a part of life. So, coming into number three, we got Wookiees. That was a terrible Wookiee sound. Yeah. With speaking, okay, growling roles in six Star Wars films at the time. I wish it was only six. Unfortunately, now we have nine, three of which I would delete. Wookiees are by far the most beloved species in the galaxy far, far away. Few fans would object if we were invaded by Wookiees. I ran an informal Twitter poll to confirm this. Well, thank you, author. If the infamous holiday special could not deny their popularity, nothing ever will. Well, the holiday special is panned by everyone and no one knows it exists because it was so bad. But pros, loyal, loving, incredibly good at hugs. Nobody ever felt insecure, unsafe again, not with a Wookiee threatening to rip their arms off. True. Cons, always have to win no matter what game you play with them. True. They get very angry if they don't win.
Yes.
Plus, you know how a large dog will shed on your couch? Imagine the amount of hair, but basically covering the entire planet. Damn. I bet Kashyyyk was a real fucking hairy planet. Like, I can only imagine showing up on Kashyyyk and being like,
hopefully they don't have allergies.
Yeah, that's what I was going to allude to. Like, sneezing as soon as your space shuttle or whatever the hell you're in. Like, the black squirrel could only handle so much of that shit. So,
all right, next up, this is a little confusing, but dolphins and or mice. According to the late, great Douglas Adams in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, dolphin and mice were the two most intelligent species on planet Earth. Dolphins were technically Earthborn, but in Hitchhiker's lore, they can relocate to another planet at will using nothing but their minds.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They left Earth in advance of a Vogon demolition squad. Perhaps if the danger is now past, they can come back and take the rightful place as the apex of the animal kingdom. Mice, meanwhile, were really hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings who were using the Earth and every creature on it as its vast supercomputer to figure out the question to the answer of life, the universe, and everything, which, if actually were the case, would certainly give humanity the missing sense of purpose.
True.
Pros, we'd either be forced to muck about in the water having a good time or take part in frighteningly sophisticated experiments. Cons, standing on a table screaming like you're in an early 60s sitcom.
Or, you know, maybe not an early 60s sitcom, but Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah.
That could be maybe a 90s kids TV show. Moving on to number one. We have the one, the only.
The most logical.
Vulcans. The most logical. Leonard Nimoy. So, they are scientific. They are cool-headed. They are supremely rational. They are, in other words, exactly what Earth needs right now. You're right. I'm going to go ahead and start a confrontation with this person. I'm not going to read the next sentence, but I'm going to say, because this article was written so long ago, I will agree with this person. They are, in fact, exactly what Earth needs right now, because right now we have someone who doesn't even know how to spell his name as our president.
Thank you, Sleepy Joe.
All right. Say what you want about pointy ears. Say what you want about their inability to show emotion or get human jokes. Do we care that much about rounded ears? Is an understanding of humor what we require from our leadership when the planet is on fire? No, it is not. In the Star Trek universe, Vulcans are often portrayed as the saviors of humanity. They're the first species that show up in Star Trek First Contact, true, having discovered the signature of a recently invented warp drive by Zefram Cochrane, and basically take us from post-apocalyptic gloom to gleaming utopian future within a few decades. In the original series, Spock saved the overly impulsive Kirk more times than he can count. Also true. I don't know about you, but I can think of no superior or more succinct political credo for human society than live long and prosper. Bring it on, Vulcans. I definitely do agree with this person. There's somebody who I think should be running the world. I would definitely put it in the hands of a Vulcan. Pros. A new emphasis on education, science, and starship technology. The banning of every last dumb, destructive, highly illogical thing. But at the same time, I fucking like illogical shit. I'm drinking. And I like to drink. There's nothing logical about drinking. And I like to make sex jokes. And I like sex. And I know they don't like sex. They might like sex, but they won't show they like sex. So I'm a little torn on that. Maybe keep some of the illogical things. I don't know. Cons. They are clearly attractive to a wide range of people. Vulcans only get in the mood once every 7 years. True. That's when they get into a thing called AMOC time, which means I gotta fuck another Vulcan for survival. This will lead to a lot of disappointed Tinder users. So. That's the whole article. Those are the aliens we'd like to visit and or take over Earth or just be a part of our happy little blue and green spinning ball of wonder.
Yes, sir.
So with that, we are going to transition from the 10 species we'd love to invade Earth to the 6 supposed alien species that are right now infiltrating the Earth, and we just may not know it. And Ripley's going to take us away with the very first of the 6 alien species.
Yes, I will. All right, number one, we have the Greys. The Greys are perhaps the most famous and commonly reported alien species. They are said to be small, humanoid beings with large black eyes and gray skin. Some people claim they have seen the Greys in UFOs, while others say they have been abducted by them and had large things shoved up their ass. I may or may not have added that last sentence.
It's a good addition. Yeah, so the Greys, man, they are sneaky little fuckers. Those are the ones that you don't want to mess with that will never be a good time. Pretty much every story ends with them being total chaos and insane and scary in every way possible. Pretty much every single encounter is a negative one. So if you see them at the foot of your bed...
They are not friendly.
They are not friendly. So if you do have, I forget what it's called, where you're like paralyzed and you can't move and all that stuff, just try to click your heels together. There's no place to go. There's no place to go.
Pinch your sphincter.
Yeah, yeah. Just squeeze your butt. Pretend like you got a can up there in your butthole just protecting, you know, your butt. So number two, we got the reptilians, which will also be featured in the next episode as well. Reptilians are another widely reported alien species. They're said to be humanoid beings with reptile-like features such as scales and slitted eyes. Some conspiracy theorists believe that the reptilians are a powerful race that have infiltrated government and control much of the world, which we will again dive a little deeper down the road. Could you imagine having a best friend that also has scales? I mean, a lot of my ex-girlfriends have scales, but I don't really judge. It's fine, I guess.
Well, you know, given the things that you've gone through, I'm surprised if your dick doesn't at this point, but...
You know, I would normally be upset with that, but also because there's so many grains of truth behind it, and the fact that my dick has survived, I'm going to let it slide.
I will survive! All right, number three, the Nordic aliens. Nordic aliens are humanoid beings that are said to be tall, fair-skinned, and blue-eyed. So, Thor.
100%! 100%!
They're often described as being benevolent and peaceful, and some people claim to have had positive interactions with them, most notably Jane Foster and or Natalie Portman sleeping with them.
Very true. And as funny as that is one of the number one reported things. It is kind of hilarious that it does say people claim to have positive interactions. Like every female that's been abducted by a quote unquote Nordic is like, they're tall and have pale skin and blonde hair, almost white hair and crystal blue eyes, and they just fucked me the right way. No joke. It's like a weird erotic fantasy. Like 90% of the abductions you read about with the Nordics, they're really friendly. And by that, I mean, they must just really need to get their rocks off.
So they're not Vulcans.
They're definitely not Vulcans. But it is hilarious because I think if we were to have Nordics on our planet, I think Chris Hemsworth and like what you said, Spot on. Moving on, we've got the insectoids. Insectoids are a lesser known alien species that are said to resemble insects or arachnids. They're often described as having multiple limbs and insect-like eyes. Some people claim to have encountered insectoids during abductions or other close encounters. Listen, I'll be totally fine if a Nordic alien abducts me. Even if he tries to hit on me, I'll be like, eh, no, I appreciate that, man. It's all good. But if an insectoid abducts me, I would be so concerned way before anything goes up my ass. I'm concerned if anything goes up my ass. I'd like things going out of my ass and not in my ass. But then here's my rebuttal to my own statement.
Rebuttal.
Maybe I would just pass out completely out of fear because it's a fucking insect in front of me that's like massive, like a humanoid insect. Maybe that would be enough to pass me out so that whatever they do with me, I don't remember. But I'm pretty sure I'd block all these memories out anyways. So,
all right. Number five is the Pleiadians. Pleiadians are humanoid alien species that are said to originate from the Pleiades star cluster. They are often described as being tall, slim, and graceful with pale skin and light colored hair. Some people claim that the Pleiadians are here to help humanity and guide us through our spiritual evolution.
So the people that sleep with stones at night, the ones that have the fucking crystals and are like, oh, yeah. The energy. I can feel the good vibes coming out of the crystals. Ugh. Yeah, Pleiadians I have heard of, but I can't really put a finger on where I've heard of them. They are very Nordic-like. Like, hey, let's hang out for a minute. You know, come on board my spaceship. I'm going to touch you a little bit. Poke, 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 poke. Okay, bye. I'll see you later. And then next thing you know, you get on board again, and there's like several little weird Nordic-looking kids that kind of have your eyes, and you're like, what the fuck did you do to me last time I was here? So, moving on to number six, we got the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki are a hypothetical alien species that some people believe played a role in human history. They're said to be a race of tall humanoid beings that genetically engineered humanity for their own purposes. Quote unquote, Prometheus by Ridley Scott, which sounds super close to Ripley Scott, but for no apparent reason. Some people believe that the Anunnaki have returned to Earth and are working with governments in secret. Think of the pyramids. Think of just all the ancient technologies that we have come to know and learn.
The Georgia Guidestones.
Yes, which thank God are gone now, which we have yet to talk about, but I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point. Did we talk about that yet?
No, after the fact that they're gone, no.
Oh, we should fucking talk about that at some point.
Yeah, follow up. Hello.
Hey, but yeah, so those are the six alien species that are said to exist. I will put an honorable mention here that Stephen Greer, who we have mentioned on the podcast before, who's like 90% full of shit, 10% may have some knowledge of some kind, or I don't believe a lot of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. He's a big aficionado of the alien thing and is trying to be an advocate for disclosure and all that stuff. Not a real doctor. I don't know. Maybe he is. I can't speak to his entire credentials. credentials. But he says there are 60 to 70 alien species currently visiting the Earth.
Naturally.
Naturally. Yeah, naturally. I don't know if that holds any credence, but if it does, man, what a wild and crazy universe we live in.
Wild and crazy, yes.
Wild and crazy. Wild and crazy.
All right, well, this was a great segment, but now we're going to transition to one of our favorite, most beloved segments. We don't touch on too often because we don't want to ruin it, but would you rather? That's right. We're going to ask each other a few very pointed questions, trying to see which way they would go.
Yes. So excited.
All idiots, please gather. It's time for Would You Rather.
All right, Joba, I will go ahead and take the first shot and offer you a question. Are you ready?
I can only hope. I can only hope. I'm ready.
All right. Given the theme of today's episode about alien species, would you rather be the personal groomer to a Wookiee, or would you rather have to be the stylist for a Klingon?
Now, if we're saying a stylist for a Klingon, does that mean having to braid their hair and like...
braid, makeup, everything, like the beautician. You are responsible for their outer beauty.
Okay. And Wookiees, I feel like if I fucked up their hair even a little bit, they'd like rip my head off.
There's a very decent chance of that. Absolutely, yes.
And if they growled at me, I'm going to be smelling sardines. Yeah. And what were those things they were trying to eat in the really shitty movies that came out that everyone thought was super cute? And they were trying to make that like...
oh, yeah. The little like...
porgs. The porgs.
Yes.
And the offshoot, if I think the other way, though, I've got like, I got to get that makeup just right. Or otherwise, I'm probably not going to live very long.
Yeah. Both have consequences for sure.
I think if I was to make friends with a Wookiee in the way that Han made friends with the Wookiee, Han pissed Chewie off all the time, and he never died. Wookiees overall have a better demeanor than Klingons, and just in general, in terms of how they handle themselves. So I would think I would A, live longer, B, be able to cultivate a better relationship of some kind with a Wookiee than I would be able to with a Klingon. Unfortunately, they're not all like Worf. Now, I'm coming to you, Ripley. I do have two, just because I figured, well, what if he answers it really fast, and then I have to move on to another one. So, would you rather get a rim job from E.T. the Extraterrestrial, or give E.T. the Extraterrestrial a rim job?
I think South Park talked about this, about the gay polarity, and it's a little less gay to receive something from a male than it is to give something to a male.
Agreed.
And also, I do not want to know what Asagonian ass tastes like. So, you know what? If I had to get there into the fetal position or whatever and let him do his thing, it's probably not going to be enjoyable for me, but, you know, it's a hell of a lot better than tasting Asagonian poop. So...
well, but they do have the word ass in their name, so maybe it's their specialty, and maybe it's like the most fantastic feeling you've ever had.
It's like, oh, this asshole tastes like pineapple.
I can't even continue. I'm like, oh my God.
Just the fact that he looks like...
he kind of looks like what your butthole would look like.
Yeah, it looks like if you just put like a dehydrated pig on a spit and just roast it for like 3 hours. That's the same texture and color. Maybe it tastes like beef jerky. That's probably a win-win, right? Like, I love beef jerky.
I guess you can't lose with this one, Ripley. You just can't lose.
I don't really have any desire to have a tongue around my butthole.
I have to agree with that.
That's not part of the fetish list that currently inhabits my life, but I would say it's much better to be licked than to lick, as long as he doesn't want to kiss me afterwards.
That's the best takeaway, I would say. You don't have to answer it, but here's the one that I had. I just have to read it out loud because it was funny. Would you rather eat fresh food out of the creature from the thing's mouth or French kiss a female predator? The alien, not like a child diddler. That one was a hard one. That's why I went with the first one.
That one is hard. Like,
because both of them would be terrible.
Female predators can be ugly as fuck. And they've got those snaggle tooth.
And The Thing, I don't know if you ever watched The Thing with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It could at least morph into your fantasy woman and you could eat something that's not rotten out of her mouth. So I would go with that one. That's me.
If it's a modified thing, yeah, where it's not in its natural habitat, yeah. You need me to eat salad out of 1985 Goldie Hawn's mouth? All right, yeah.
Let's go.
I'll sign up for that.
Totally agree.
I liked it better in the restroom.
Oh, come on, Ripley, lighten up. We got an entire night away from smuggling, getting lost in space, and constant nagging from our fucking washing machine.
Okay, okay, I guess you're right. What do you want to drink?
What?
I said, what do you want to drink?
Why does who stink?
No, no, not you, sir. Jova? Great, and now I'm alone. Oh, hey, do you orbit this neck of the woods?
Let's go. Don't wait. This episode is over. Honest, it was great. But now it's over. It's over. It's over. I am no longer sober.
Joba Fett here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoyed our ridiculous content, then get to your nearest cosmic communication device and spread the word to your friends, family, coworkers, or nearby nerf herders. We're available on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen. If you have an idea for our show or would like to propose a theme, send in an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. Feel free to tweet us or shoot us a message at The Slurred Kind on either Meta, Twitter, or Instagram. If you don't, be sure to follow us on the socials mentioned above, and don't forget to join Ripley, myself, and our droid Zero Frux, and all the other Dimension Hoppers over on our Facebook group, The Antimatter Minute. Now watch your step, it's time to board the Black Swirl so we can continue tumbling down this black hole of hilarity together. Remember everyone, stay slurred.